Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7, Text 50 and 51. So how should we do this? They're both, again, I'll just read text 50, and then text 51 we'll do together. Is that okay? If you like, you can chant in unison. Gunai gunan upadate yata kalam jimunchati natesu yujate yogi govirga iva gopati. Translation. Just as the sun evaporates large quantities of water by its potent rays, and later returns the water to the earth in the form of rain, similarly, a saintly person accepts all types of material objects with his material senses, and at the appropriate time, when the proper person has approached him to request them, he returns such material objects. Thus, both in accepting and giving up the objects of the senses, he is not entangled. A short purport by Srila Prabhupada. A Krishna-conscious person never feels proprietorship over the opulences entrusted to him by Lord Krishna for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. The devotees of Lord Krishna should not merely accumulate material wealth, but should distribute the opulences of Lord Krishna in such a way that the Krishna consciousness movement spreads unlimitedly. This is a lesson to be learned from the sun. I just want to apologize for a slight glitch yesterday. I was saying it was purports by Srila Prabhupada. Well, it's not exactly, it's as it's stated, by humble servants of Srila Prabhupada. It's a BBT purports. Sorry about that. Today, I got it straight. Text 51. Bhujyate
Sve
Ma
Vedana
Vyakti
Sta
Iva
Tadgataha.
So far, every single A has been a short A. So we don't want to hear any ah. It's oh. When it doesn't have the accent. Lakshyate Stula Matibir Atma Chagastito Arka
Vat
Bhujyate Svena Vedena Yaktista Iva Tadgataha Lakshyate Stula Matibir
Atma
Cha Vastitor Kavat Bhujyate Svena Vedena Yaktista Iva Tadgataha Lakshyate Stula Matibir Atma cha vastitor kavat.
Atma cha vastitor kavat.
Bhujyate svena vedena.
Bhujyate
svena vedena. Sa iva sarjataha.
Yati sa iva
Bhujyate svena vedena Yakti sa iva tadgataha Lakshyate stula matibir Anybody else? Word meanings. Bhujate is thought of. Svay, in his original form.
Not.
Vedana.
Vedana.
In terms of diversity. Vyakti. On separate reflecting objects. So, situated. Eva. Apparently. Tadgataha.
Actually having entered within them.
Lakshyate.
Seems.
Stulamatibi.
To those whose intelligence is dull.
Atman. The self.
Also.
Avastita.
Situated.
Arkavat.
Like the sun.
Translation and purport by his, by the humble servants of Srila Prabhupada, BBC Prabhupada. We got it right this time. I almost slipped again. My feet, they are slipping again and again. My path is difficult. Dugami pati nindasya skalapaga jater mahu svakripa yastidanena shanta shanta valambanam. Oh, my path is very difficult and I am blind and my feet are slipping again and again. Therefore, what should I do? I can only pray for the saints, for the mercy stick, for my support. So I had a saint gave me a mercy stick 3.5 years ago in Mayapur. That was Niranjana Swami. So, translation and purport. Even when reflected in various objects, the sun is never divided, nor does it merge into its reflection. Only those with dull brains would consider the sun in this way. Similarly, although the soul is reflected through different material bodies, the soul remains undivided and non-material. Purport. The sun is reflected in many objects, such as windows, mirrors, shiny metal, oil, water, and so on. Yet the sun remains one and indivisible. Similarly, the eternal spirit soul within the body is reflected through the screen of the material body. Thus, the soul appears to be old or young, fat or skinny, happy or sad. The soul may appear to be American, Russian, African, Hindu, or Christian. However, the eternal soul, in its natural position, is free from of any material designation. The word stula matibi in this verse indicates that those whose intelligence is gross, indicates those whose intelligence is gross and dull. We have practical experience of a dog urinating on a valuable painting at an outdoor art show. We have practical, so whoever wrote the purport, probably read it on the margin, actually saw that. And I don't know if he took a picture of it. In those days, not that every Tom, Dick, and Harry had a camera with them all the time. But it's a vivid image, isn't it? The dog. Due to its dull intelligence, the dog cannot appreciate the actual value of the painting. This is classic. Similarly, unless one takes to Krishna consciousness, one is grossly misusing the invaluable opportunity of human life. In other words, don't just urinate it away, the valuable opportunity of having human life is like a valuable painting. Get the analogy? It's very vivid. Human life is meant for self-realization, and we should not waste time bickering over material designations such as capitalist, communist, American, Russian, and so on. Instead, all people should take to the loving, devotional service of God and realize their eternal pure identity. One should understand the sun by observing its direct manifestation and not its distorted reflection on material objects. Similarly, one should consider every living being in terms of his pure spiritual identity beyond the distorted vision of material designations. The word Atma in this verse also refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is very comforting because the verse itself may seem anomalous, like you hear, although the soul is reflected through different material bodies, the soul remains undivided and non-material. And does this imply impersonal conclusion or what? But when we understand that the word Atma can also refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's a little easier to understand. Just as we tend to observe ordinary jiva souls through the reflection of the material body, we tend to observe the personality of Godhead through the distorting screen of our material mind. Thus we imagine God to be impersonal or material or unknowable. When the sky is overcast, sunlight is the highest possible perception of the sun, which is covered by clouds. That's when it's cloudy. That's when the sky is overcast. Not in all circumstances that's the highest realization. This is the more analogy here. Similarly, when one's mind is fogged over with mental speculation, one may take the light emanating from the transcendental body of God to be the highest spiritual truth. However, when the mind is spotlessly clear, like a cloudless blue sky, one can see the actual form of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. The absolute truth cannot be perfectly understood by the covered mind of the conditioned soul. Rather, one must see the Lord through the clear blue sky of pure Krishna consciousness, which is free from fruitive desires and mental speculation. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Jivara Kalyana Sadhana Kama It's up on the screen. Oh, that's really a relief. I thought I was the only dum-dum in the whole room that didn't know it. Anyway, it's good for reduce my false ego. That's okay. Translation of that. The holy name of Lord Krishna descends into the darkness of the material world just to benedict the conditioned souls. The holy name of Lord Krishna is just like the sun that rises in the clear sky of the heart of the devotees. Very appropriate citation. That's the end of the translation of that verse by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Such brilliant knowledge cannot be understood by those who are trying, in the name of either piety or atheism, to exploit the material creation of the Lord. In other words, it's kind of implied, you know, by karma, you know, like fruit of activities that are religiously supported, or jnana, which in and of itself is a slippery slope to mayavad and impersonalism in general. One must become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, and then his knowledge will illuminate everything in all directions. Kasmin bhagavo vidyate sarvam evam vidyatam bhavati. Mundaka Upanishad 1.3. So let me read the both verses, just the translations. Just as the sun evaporates large quantities of water by its potent rays, and later returns the water to the earth in the form of rain, similarly a saintly person accepts all types of material objects with his material senses. And at the appropriate time, when the proper person has approached him to request them, he returns such material objects. Thus, both in accepting and giving up the objects of the senses, he is not entangled. And then text 51, even when reflected in various objects, the sun is never divided, nor does it merge into its reflection. Only those with dull brains would consider the sun in this way. Similarly, although the soul is reflected through different material bodies, the soul remains undivided and non-material. Om Gyanita Miranda Sya Jananjana Sharataya Chakshu Militam Nina Chakshan Shri Guruji Maha. As I was reading the purport, there's a couple of Bhagavad Gita references that just kind of jumped into my head. In chapter 13, there's a description of the super soul. Again, in the second verse, could be referring to the individual living entity or the Supreme Lord, the term Atma. Yes. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam eva chastitam bhuta bhakti ta chajkeyam tajkeyam kashishnu prabhavishnu cham. Although the super soul appears to be divided among all beings, he is never divided. He is situated as one. Although he is the maintainer of every living entity, it is to be understood that he devours and develops all. If we go to the 18th chapter and you go to the description of knowledge, 18th chapter in Bhagavad Gita, and you go to the descriptions of knowledge in the three modes of nature, then that also gives us a little insight into we're going to see things in different ways according to the modes that affect us and what our position is spiritually also. There's the description of knowledge in the mode of goodness. Sabha bhuteshu yenai kam bhavam abhyam eva tat. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu taj jnanam vidhi sattvikam. That knowledge is in the mode of goodness, where it sees in all different types of bodies, it sees the same spirit. In all different bodies, ika, yenaikam, sarvabhuteshu yenaikam. And then in the mode of passion, it gets a little different. There it's pritakpena tuyajjnanam nana bhavam pritagvidan. Veti sarveshu bhuteshu tajjnanam vidhi rajasam. So in the mode of passion, then get messes up. There, the vision is distorted. There, within every different type of living entity, one thinks there's a different, with every type of different body, one thinks there must have a different kind of soul in different bodies. And in Western religions, that pitfall is there. We can only conclude that somehow or another they're influenced by the motive passion. At least those who have written and interpreted the scriptures, however that worked, somehow or another. Well, it is Kali Yuga, after all, so we shouldn't be surprised that these things happen. So in the mode of goodness, it's better. In the mode of goodness, you see that everyone is Brahman. But then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this impersonal knowledge is typical of the mode of goodness. I can read it to you. I'll get it exactly verbatim here. Mudir vidandu kishtava mukta sangha kamik shunakama yitam. No, I think it goes back a little further. Okay. That knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities, though they are divided into innumerable forms, you should understand to be in the mode of goodness, talking about one undivided spiritual nature. It says, that living energy, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, that living energy is imperishable, although the bodies are perishable. Differences are perceived in terms of the body, because there are many forms of material existence in conditioned life. The living force appears to be divided. Such impersonal knowledge is an aspect of self-realization, Prabhupada concludes the purport. Such impersonal knowledge is an aspect of self-realization. So it is knowledge, and it is impersonal, and it is an aspect of self-realization. But it's not the last word. Mode of goodness is not the ultimate platform, but it is blessed by two things, happiness and knowledge. So there is knowledge. Of course, we are all Brahman, aham brahmasmi, there's one nature. Yet at the same time, Brahman has individuality. Mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That the eternalist, sanatana, is eternally the living entity is part and parcel of this, of the Lord. He's part, but he's part of the Lord, and at the same time, not all of the Lord. He's an individual part of the Supreme Whole. Natvevaham jatu nasham natvam name janadipana chaivana bhavishyama sadeva yama tatparam. Oh, Arjuna, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. And then I'll read the exact verse. That knowledge by which one sees that in every different body there is a different type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion. The mode of ignorance is also there, but it goes into a whole different lower understanding or misunderstanding of what's going on. So the two verses there, again, a group, these two, they both deal with the next guru, which is the sun. So we had, what did you have, air, water, now there's sun, fire. I gave class about fire a couple of days ago. And now the sun. But even though it's the same guru, he's giving different lessons. So one verse is a very different focus than the other one. But they're, of course, related, not only because they're in the same analogy of the sun, but they're related if we just go a little bit deeper into what's going on, like Krishna consciousness philosophy. Mm. Aplakrita vashtu neha prakrita gocharam vede puraneti ehi kahi nirantaram. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 9, text 194. Spiritual substance is never within the jurisdiction of material conception. This is always the verdict of the Vedas and Puranas. That's the general principle that we can't... This was Lord Chaitanya speaking to a Brahmana who was a great Ram Bhakta. Some of you know that pastime. So we have to somehow get beyond the material conception, prakriti, because it doesn't, gochara, it doesn't extend, it doesn't have access to aprakriti, vastu, because vastu, actual substance, is aprakriti, which is non-manifest. Of course, it's non-manifest so long as we're Maya. We're not seeing through the eyes of Shastra, Jnana Chakshu, or Shastra Chakshu, seeing through the eyes of Scripture. You have to develop that. That, by the way, is Janmashtami Prabhu is here. He'll confirm that it's one of the 12 aims of studying the Shastra, like Bhakti Shastra course. To see through the eyes of the scripture, Jnana Chakshu. Yeah. So how do we get into this mess where we're seeing all these, in terms of designations I mentioned here, seeing everything in terms of designations. It even applies to that pitfall of seeing different types of temporary configurations of Krishna's material energy. That's what the real deal is. That's what's really going on out there. Is that these are just, it's all Krishna's energies. I think Madan Mohan Prabhu was a little bit excited about one particular verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. The last couple of days he wanted to vibrate that and wanted me to vibrate it also. Vibrate, transmittal sound vibration. Was... How did it go again? Stavada jangama deki na deke spura murti salvatra haya nicha ista deva spurti. Many, the verses that were, this section of Bhagavatam, if I'm not mistaken, is, does have a number of descriptions. No, actually, no, I was looking in the second chapter, actually. In the second chapter of this canto, you have a lot of descriptions of the Uttama Adhikar, the Mahabhagavat devotee. He doesn't have these designations. His mentality is not that he doesn't exactly, now getting back to CC, it's not that he, every very advanced devotee has to have a white cane, because he just doesn't see these designations. He'll just, you know, walk into a tree or something like that. It's not like that. It's not that he doesn't see. He can see these forms, these temporary forms around him, most cases. But he doesn't exactly see their forms. In other words, he sees enough that he can navigate, you can say. But he doesn't focus on that. That's not what his recognition is. He has cognition, but his recognition is different. He's recognizing what it really is, which is Krishna's energy. And seeing Krishna's energy everywhere, here's Krishna. He sees his worshipful Ishtadev. He sees his worshipful deity. The problem is we're not on that level. We see different designations, whether Kanista, Madhyam, we're seeing different designations. And how did that happen? We're not going to get into the subject of where did it happen, but how did it happen? It happened from a place beyond time. It's happening right now. It's going, when did it happen? Well, it's happening right this second. And it's also becoming cured in this very second. Depends on our intensity of focus on Krishna consciousness. This is from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, 6th verse. Manakshri jati vai deham gunam karmani chatmanaha tan manakshri jate maya tato jivasya samshmitihi. The material bodies, qualities, and activities of the spirit soul are created by the material mind. That mind is itself created by the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord, and thus the soul assumes material existence. You say, it's all in your mind. Yes, I mean, after all, just take these bodies that we have. This was created by our mind. I don't know how it works exactly, because the animals they come up, but even certainly we humans in our last life, I don't know if that applies to me, but say some of you fortunate, more elevated souls were human beings. Maybe we have a couple here coming directly from the spiritual world, Nitya Mukta devotees who have come to enlighten us. They're not so common. Anyway, we're creating these material bodies, say in our previous human life. That's described in Bhagavad Gita in the 8th chapter, the 3rd verse, Aksharam Brahma Paramams Bhavo Jatma Nichite. No, the next one, I think it is. What is it? Adibhuktam Sharo Bhava Purushas Chadidaivatam Adiyagno Hamevatra Dehe Deha Vritam Vada. So, action pertaining to development. Did I get that right? Is it in that verse? Or is it the first one? Aksharam Brahma Paramam Subhava Gyatma Nuchite Bhutta Bhavod Bhavakaro Vishagar Kamas. No, it is that verse, the second one. This is the 4th verse of the 8th chapter. That it describes that action pertaining to the development of these material bodies is called karma, fruitive activity. In other words, action and the fruitive mentality, our desires, create the type of body that we have. So that's looking at the microcosm. But in general, it's the material mind that is creating the material bodies, the qualities, the activities of this of the spirit, and activities of the spirit soul are created by the material mind. The mind itself is created. Oh, so this is in the 12th canto. It's another subject which we don't have time to get into, and we won't get into it, but it's a very interesting topic, is because these are just material designations, and this is the way people see things when they're in Maya. Does that mean that, is the material world real, or is it not real? That's, you know, you can have role-playing, and we can have someone advocating that it's real, we can have someone advocating that it's not real. And they both have good arguments from scripture and also from Srila Prabhupada's statements as well. It's an interesting topic. Here's something that make us tend to think the material world is not real. Of course, officially, if you had to answer, you're taking a Bhakti Shastri course and you had to check off, you only have two choices. It's real or it's not real. You couldn't equivocate. Then check real. Then you'll get a passing mark, because we're formally obliged to, and there is a lot of basis for because we're formally in the Brahma Madhva Bodhya Sampradaya. So the Madhva Sampradaya really stresses that the material world is real. So, you know, then this can easily be analyzed and understood by a little more careful, focus on what we're really talking about. But here's a good one that Srila Prabhupada has decided to add to the, it's a kind of an optional verse in the 4th canto. At the end of the 4th, in the 29th chapter, at the end of the 29th chapter, there are two verses which we can say add-on verses. I can't remember the name of the acharya that suggested this is part of the Bhagavatam, but Srila Prabhupada considered it worthwhile including. So therefore it's called fourth canto, 29th chapter, verse 2b. It's at the end of the chapter, but it's 2b, to be or not to be. It's 2b. Adrishtam drishtavan nakshad bhutam svapnavadam yata utam bhavad bhavishyat cha suptam sarvaraho rahaha. Everything happening within time, which consists of past, present, and future, is merely a dream. Sounds like evidence of unreal tattva. Vad. Now, is that just some statement that someone's just, you know, speculating about? No, because it goes on to say, suktam, and then it says, sarva, sarva raho raha. It means that is the secret understanding in all Vedic literature. Makes you think. So, alright, just moving along, we're also hearing about the principle of, that the saintly person, we hear also about the brahmana who can make $1 million before noon, and by the afternoon he's already given it all away in charity. So it's a similar thing. A saintly person or a real brahmana, he will be very detached. It's not that he won't accept. That's one of the brahmanas, what is that called? Vritti? Vritti? That's his occupation. That's how everyone has to make a living somehow. So a brahmana can make a living by begging. It's perfectly, Arjuna wasn't supposed to do that. But a brahmana can do by begging. Even Srila Prabhupada, he called himself the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar when he wrote that poem in Bengali when he first came to Boston. So, this is a... Hare Krishna. I'm trying to go really fast, you know. I went too far ahead of myself. Hare Krishna. I got into this thing about beggar. Okay. A brahmana, he gives in charity and accepts. So a saintly person is described also doing that. And the analogy again is that sun analogy that evaporates so much water and then returns it in the form of rain. That same analogy is used to make a different philosophical point in, I think it's the autumn season chapter. But here we have this one. So, this is, and in purport, it's directly related to the Krishna consciousness movement, that it's okay, you know, there's that famous story, legendary story where Srila Prabhupada famously said, if someone, there was a picture of a, was it Vivekananda or some yogi or swami was really making front pages in India because they offered him like a pot of gold. I mean, just a big vessel filled with money and jewels and you name it. And he was saying, no, I am renounced. I do not take anything. I said, oh, he's so great. He just didn't take any of that, all that wealth that was given to him. I could never do that. Oh, he must be God or something to be. So, and then Prabhupada was chuckling when he saw that article about this yogi. He said, you offered me that, I will take it and then I'll ask you, give me more. Is that Krishna conscious? Is that karma? No way. It's more advanced. It's understanding that everything is energy of the Lord. That is also a support for the Madhva conclusion that it's real. The material world is real. It's real because it's Krishna's energy. So it's real. We just misuse it, then it becomes Maya. And there's a lot to be said there. So the whole problem is we get in the material world, there was a wonderful verse, I always like to refer to because it's so rich, it's so fertile, it's so productive of so much understanding. It's in, the second canto, maybe 10th chapter. It's Atakavir Namashu Yavadartha Syadapramato Yavasaya Buddhi. Siddhenya tarte na yate tatatra parishramam tatra samikshamana. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada really gets into this idea of designation. And don't worry, I'll tell you what the verse means. it says basically that one should not over-endeavor while in the world of names. That's called namashu. Just material designations. One should not over-endeavor Rather, one should be intelligently fixed, kabi, and understand that that all these are just temporary configurations of material energy. And one should not over-endeavor, knowing that any over-endeavor for these, trying to lord it over these material designations, first of all, you can't take it with you, right? You can't hold on to it. And second of all, even if you feel you're really holding on to it, it's not real. It's not real in that it doesn't measure up to my expectation. It's not real in the way I'm thinking reality is. It's meant for my enjoyment. In that sense, the material world is not real because it's not meant for my enjoyment. It's all Krishna's energy. It all belongs to Krishna. And it's meant to be used in his service. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, I'll take more. I'll ask for more. Give me more. Because he'll use every penny in the service of the Lord. And that was proven by Prabhupada Leela. So what's the solution? Well, no time for more Sanskrit, but in the first canto it said, 1.5.34, when all man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. Like taking out a thorn with another thorn, or curing indigestion from too much milk, you take more milk, but you take it in the form of yogurt. So that cures indigestion. So too much money, the root of all evil, you can cure it by even more money, get more money. But the point is, if you're doing business, for instance, and you use it in the service of the Lord. Satyavaj Prabhu wrote a whole book about doing business for Krishna, about very big businessman, devotee in India, Nathji? Yeah. That he was Krishna conscious despite all his wealth, because he was using it in the Lord's service. And to take it a step further, in the 11th canto, in this same chapter, and you just read this before I got here, you read this maybe 10 days ago or a week ago. In accordance with the particular nature one has acquired in conditioning life, whatever one does with body, word, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer to the Supreme, thinking, this is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. Narayanayiti samarpayat tat. This is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. I just want to end with a little bit somber note that, maybe it's a little out of place, but it's getting kind of scary in the world nowadays, if you didn't notice. I went to Tampa, and I stopped in this real out of the way, gas station. We stopped there. We got a little lost, so we ended up in the boondocks. And there was it wasn't a country bumpkin or a hick, that wouldn't be very polite, but he was, kind of a very, seemed like a provincial type of person, managing the place. And I noticed in the newspaper, something about North Korea and this and that, things were getting scary. So I thought, well, maybe I could bond with the guy a little bit like this and say, wow, it's really getting kind of scary here, I'm looking in the newspaper. And the guy was like, right on the same page. He was saying, yeah. He said, it's really, we're going to get a little worried here. And then I felt I had something going with this guy, so I ran out to the car and I got the book we had handy was the 50th anniversary of ISKCON, magazine pamphlet thing, booklet. And that's appropriate to give someone new like that. So I gave it to him, and I gave him my card, and he actually wrote to me, at least to establish the contact. Let's see if we can have some dialogue. But the point is that it's a healthy fear. I was telling Jivanath Prabhu, who led this fired up kirtan, old fashioned, old days type fired up kirtan and everything. He's gone now. So, And said, that's what we need. That's what we need. We need this kind of kirtan. We always needed it. But we really, really, you know, it's really time to focus, you know, the day after and all that. So it's a good time. It's a good time to really take Krishna. It's always a good time. It may, you know, not even a question of let's go out to the country or something like that. No, it's not. It's not about, you know, trying to have extra foodstuffs stored or something. It's a question of having extra harinam, having extra chanting, extra. There's really no such thing as extra. It should be kirtaniya sadahari. That should be the quota. So it's just a little word to the wise. Of course, by the chanting of Hare Krishna, yes, things can go on. And Krishna could just say, they deserve to get blasted. The karma is so horrible. But let's let them have one more day, because they're still chanting Harinam by the Senayor Pati, who spread Krishna consciousness all over the world on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. So, anyway, actually, there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that's very backs this up, and then we can open up for any discussion. Ahoratrais chijamanam buddhayor bayave patuhu mukta sangha param buddha nidiha upashamyati. This is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Again, the 11th canto, but this time the 20th chapter, much further ahead. Knowing that one's duration of life is similarly cut down by the passing of days and nights, one should be shaken by fear. One should be shaken by fear. So we should be afraid. In this way, giving up all material attachment and desire, one understands the Supreme Lord and achieves perfect peace. Now, it seems like a big jump to being scared and having fear, and then you understand the Supreme Lord, and then you have perfect peace. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness. But it is a healthy thing to have some fear like that. Of course, there's another verse in early Bhagavatam that says one should not be afraid. It's talking about a very advanced devotee. Okay, Prabhu, please. First one to raise his hand was Kaliyapani. Then we'll have Jamasan. The microphone is a little dicey.
It's in support of Madhvacharya's view that Maya has reality. It's very easy to dismiss a dream. You know, it's just a dream, it's not real. But if you consider in the light of dream analysis, one who knows the art can point out how your dream relates to your real life. So there is, and also within a dream, you can make decisions, conscious decisions that actually affect the outcome, even if you're asleep. So there is reality in a dream, but one has to see the position, the relative position of significance in the greater reality.
Yeah, I'm reading a book about, in my very, very spare time, reading a book about epistemology. And one point it makes is it's saying that we have to try to respond to skeptical arguments against the common sense notion of what's real and what's not real, and what's truth and what's not truth. And one of the examples they give, and writers tend to consider this as very far out, still something has to be dealt with, but very exotic and very far-fetched example. And one they give, which is actually from our Siddhanta, is actually not that far-fetched. Namely, that the world is just virtual reality. You're mentioning dreams. What about the daydream? Night dream is one thing, but right now, in other words, they would give an example of extreme skepticism if one would postulate that actually right now we're just dreaming. La vida es sueño. Life is just a dream. Oh, merrily, 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 merrily. Row, 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 but life is but a dream. Right? Watch out for the waterfall. But the thing is that there's a daydream. It's not only a night dream. There's also a daydream. So the idea that right now we're dreaming, now we go the other way, that the world could be unreal in that sense. Then we go to the idea that right now we can, it's not some far-fetched, you know, wild, very implausible supposition. But according to what I just read, that verse in Bhagavatam, that add-on verse that Prabhupada included, that everything happening in time, which consists of past, present, and future, is nothing more than a dream. This is the secret conclusion of all the scriptures. Just see. So anyway, this is something, it's a big topic, real or not real, but thank you. John Masami, please. And then, of course, Srila Prabhupada, set us straight.
It's going to work.
In the first translation of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes, only because of him that the material universe is temporarily manifested by reactions to the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I'm wondering, this context,
Is that the first verse of today?
Verse of the Bhagavatam.
Oh, of course, right. 111. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I know it sounded familiar.
So,
fear is special, but actually, it's unreal. So, how do you
look at that from the standpoint of
Madhvacharya's? Yeah, well, in the course of my very humble presentation, I suggested that it is a huge topic that we won't have time to get into, but since you're bringing it up very briefly as possible, you can make a balance. You can have like scales and a balance, and you can get a lot of support for unreal vod and a lot of support for real vod. The first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam I put in the collection of unreal, because it says right there, it appears to be real, although it is unreal. In the Sanskrit, it says, not quite real, or something like that. So, there's evidence like that. And there's also that verse I was quoting, which I really didn't do very well on the translation, and the purport, Prabhupada really gets into it, that second canto verse, that it's just nama shu, the material world is just, it's just a whole world of names only, like the babbling of sea waves. It has no substance to it. So, I mean, in a very, very simple way, we can just say that if you have a virtual, say the world is a virtual reality, as Sariputta Prabhu has suggested this model. He even references the Matrix movie at the beginning of the book, Maya, the world is virtual reality, very bold title. So say the world is virtual reality. So you can say, well, because it's not real, it's only virtual reality. So it's not what you think it is, but at the same time, it's something. So you have a virtual reality. You can't say that the contents of the virtual reality are not real. But the virtual reality itself took thousands and thousands of hours of computer programming to millions of lines of code to do it. It was a big project. Or in more classic terms, a mirage in the desert. So there's no palm tree, there's no oasis. But you can't say there's no such thing as a mirage. So the way that we construe it, and this whole idea of material designations, because of our desires to lord it over, give it